So the big question is this: how can you, as an entrepreneur, be able to get unstuck, to be able to know what to do, how to do it, and where to start, so that you can stop experiencing a lack of wealth, health, faith, and love, to get to point B, where you're experiencing the life you were meant to live as an entrepreneur, your greatest one life, creating more income, impact, and influence? That is the big question. This podcast will give you the answer. My name is Austin Blanchfield. Welcome to the One Entrepreneur Podcast. What is going on, my One Lifestyle family? This is Austin Blanchfield here, coming at you with another podcast episode, and I am super excited because I have a very special, amazing guest on with us today. We met a couple months back at an incredible event where we just really connected. There, we were actually in the same group, same team, really amazing event, and we connected, and I just learned about how he is living his one lifestyle today, how he has built an incredible business, has an amazing, amazing family where they just go on a lot of trips pretty much whenever they want, work 5 to 10 hours per week, and they're just truly living the life they were designed to live. So I have the one and only Billy Sticker with Cairo Candy. How are you doing, Billy?
Hey, Austin. Thanks so much for having me on today. Yeah. I'm doing great. Glad to be a part. I love what you're doing.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, and I'm super, super honored, really excited, really blessed to be able to have you on this podcast. And like I said, this is what it's all about, living your one lifestyle, and that's what you're doing today. And so I want to be able to talk to you about this, talk to you about your story, how it is that you got to where you are today, so that people can understand that it is doable, that it's achievable. So let's go ahead and let's start with your story, start from day one, kind of your calling.
And it's a lot of people look at where we are today, and we are so very blessed. We have a great lifestyle. You know, as we're recording this, it's November. Back in July, we actually spent 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks in Italy. We came home for a day, turned right around, went to San Diego for almost a week. And I think for the month of July, we probably worked about, I may have worked 10 to 15 hours the whole month. Yeah. And we had more revenue in July than we did in June. Wow. And people see us and they think, man, they're lucky. Well, no, it literally was, it's a lifestyle that we designed. Mm-hmm. And we use tools that are available today to build this. We didn't just, you know, wake up one morning and all of a sudden here it was. Yeah. As a matter of fact, my wife posted something, it was either last night or this morning on Facebook, and it was, you know, kind of like this meme, and it's got the iceberg, you know, and the tip, you know, what people see, and at the bottom, what people don't see. Mm-hmm. And her comment was, you know, add lots of prayer and seeking the Lord. We are believers. That's a big part of who we are and what we do. But, you know, the top part is, you know, people see the travel and the success and all this. But the bottom part, you know, they don't see is all the sacrifice, the staying healthy, the good habits, the focus, the mindset, the discipline, the tears, the heartache, you know, the obstacles, the rejection, and all this stuff that it took to go into this. But what's crazy is, or what's, I don't want to say crazy, what's so amazing is we live in a day and time where there's never been more tools available for us to build the lifestyle that we really want. We can do it. And it's not just about wealth and success. It's about finding out what do you really want, and then going out there and getting it. I'll share some of my backstory. Growing up at the age of 7, we were actually living in Louisiana. I'm from Texas, but I was going to first grade in Louisiana. My mom showed up at school. This was in April. And there was about 6 weeks of school left, but she showed up one day and took me out of school, said there was a family emergency, and we left.
Yeah.
And from the middle of April until August, we were gone. our family had no idea where we were. If it would have happened today, we'd be on Fox News. All right. It was basically a parental kidnapping. And she took me, my younger sister, my younger brother. They were roughly 2 and 3 at the time. And we ended up in North Carolina. We were living in a hotel. She got a job working at a bar. And I would stay there at 7 years old, making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, changing diapers, watching my brother and sister while my mom, you know, worked during the day.
Mom.
And then we ended up moving in with some guy that she met at her bar. And long story short, they finally find us. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day coming home and the police were there and they were had already arrested my mom. They were waiting on me and I had to spend some time in foster care. Not mm-hmm. like years or anything like that. It was really just, you know, for a few weeks, but I had no idea where I was.
Yeah.
Where's my brother and sister? Where's my mom? You know, what is going on? And finally, we have the court date and I get to see my dad for the first time in months and all this stuff. And in looking at the instability that I had growing up, whenever my wife and I got married, we actually dated in high school. We wanted more stability for our family than I had.
Mm-hmm.
Now her parents have been married for over 50 years. You know, 5 decades, and my parents were both married an average of 5 times apiece, right? Mm-hmm. It was 2 totally different upbringings. But fortunately, we've been in all the glory to God. We've been married for over, we're going on year number 24 right now. And we have
nice, congrats. yeah.
We have 3 amazing kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have this fantastic lifestyle, but it wasn't always easy.
Yeah.
When we first got married, I was working, and she was going to school. She's a nurse. She went to school for nursing.
Hmm.
And we have a ministry background. We spent almost 13 years in youth ministry. And I never went to college. But I knew that if there's anything I wanted to learn, somebody's written a book about it, right? Mm-hmm. This is really before podcast. So I would go and I would buy books and read it, you know, on sales or marketing or self-help, whatever it was. And a lot of times whenever we were, you know, in youth ministry, I would read these different quote-unquote success books and take the principles out of it. And I would find all the scriptures that backed them up, and that's what we would teach to our teenagers.
Oh, wow.
You know, because a lot of these success principles, they're based on scripture. You know, people don't know that. And some do. And so that's just what we would, you know, we were teaching our teens. You know, we were applying it to our life. And I got into selling rare coins. There's probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 different companies down here. And we're talking about gold, silver, platinum, some coins. Like the very first gold coin the U.S. ever made was in 1795. In Philadelphia. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
1795. I've actually sold one of those coins from 1795 before.
Wow.
It's just insane.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Talk about different niche markets that you just don't know exist.
Oh, yeah.
There are people out there that will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on one coin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane. But I was in that profession for a long time. And I went from one company, was there for about 7 years, went to work at a different company and was making more money, but was very unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different environment. They treated the salespeople horrible. Just the pressure they put on you, it was just really bad.
Yeah.
And then I found that there was a chiropractor that had a couple of different offices and he was wanting somebody to come and take over the marketing. He had 2 different offices, and I didn't have a degree, but I've read and studied a lot about marketing. I knew that I could grow his practice.
Mm-hmm.
Practices. So I put together this 11-page marketing plan. I submit it with my resume. I end up getting the job. We doubled the volume in both of his offices. This was back 2007, 2008. I started a podcast for chiropractors back then. You know, that's 12 years ago almost,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
way before podcasting was cool. I wish I would have stuck with it back then.
Yeah.
I had some articles written in Cairo Economics and, I mean, just started getting, you know, some success in the business, kind of consulting and stuff back then, but it still wasn't the same money I was used to in the precious metals industry. So I ended up quitting, going back to work at a different coin company. Actually, a couple of guys that I had trained to sell coins at one company had branched off, started their own company. They brought me on. And, you know, so I'm working there. And we had kind of had this agreement whenever they brought me on. If I could help get their company to doing over $200,000 a month, I wanted the option to be a partner. I wasn't asking for anything for free. I didn't want them to give me a percentage of the company. I wanted the option to be able to buy into the company, but I wanted to work for something that was my own. And so we all agreed on it, shook hands, and went to work. And once we reached that, I mean, it did take a little bit of time. You know, I would approach them a couple of times, you know, hey, what's, you know, are we ever going to make this happen? And it just kept getting put off and put off and put off. And, yeah. and then one day I realized it's not happening. But I'm making a good income, but I just wasn't happy.
You know,
I wanted to do something different. And I would hear, I don't know if you, do you know who Pat Flynn is? Smart Passive Income?
I don't.
He has a podcast called Smart Passive Income. And we both got started, like he started his podcast back around 2007, 2008, whenever I started my original one. But he just stuck with his. So fast forward to like 2014, and I would hear his name come up every once in a while. And so I'm, you know, frustrated at my job, he's making good money, but just wanting to do something different. I got online, and I was on social media or something, but saw his name come up. And so I went to his website. Well, he posts his income statements every month. And the basis of his podcast is, you know, hey, I'm trying to make money online. I'm going to show you what's working and what's not. And every month I'll post my income, show you where I, you know, what I spent money on, what I, you know, lost money, or, you know, what,
okay,
what worked, what didn't. And I remember it was the end of the year, fall of 2014. And I got on there and his income report for the previous month was $83,000 for 1 month.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? We started at the same time. Oh, my goodness. And
yeah.
basically what he had done is he, like his main income was he had built such a big audience. If he found different programs or whatever that he thought his audience would like, he would recommend them and get an affiliate commission.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, this is unbelievable. You know, I wish I would have stuck with my Chiropractic Marketing University was the name of my podcast back in the day. Anyway, so it's kind of everything lined up right, and I was praying about it one day. I was like, you know what, God, I have to do something different. It's obvious that I'm not going to be able to be a partner in the company I'm at. I want to work for myself. I think podcasting can help me build an audience for something, but I've also done some leadership training before. Some parenting stuff, wrote a book called The ABCs of a Leader, and it was really more about teaching leadership principles to kids, and really just praying about it. And I was like, you know what, I need some direction. I want to do a podcast. You know, what should I do it on? And not to be super spiritual, just sharing my experience, I felt the Holy Spirit say, what have you enjoyed the most?
Yeah.
And I love chiropractic. You know, most people think it's neck pain and back pain. But, I mean, you know this, you know, growing up in the profession, it's more than that. It's about what it is you're teaching. It's about this lifestyle. But I'm not a chiropractor. But I know marketing. So it's I knew that could be my gift, if you will, to the profession. That almost sounds prideful. I don't mean it like that. But I look at things through a marketing lens. So I want to help the profession grow their practices. So I rebranded, you know, from Chiropractic Marketing University, we changed the name to Chiro Candy and relaunched the spring of 2015. And all I wanted to do was create value for the market. Mm-hmm. I knew some people. I'd been published, like I said, in some trade magazines before. I knew some big names. So I reached out and started interviewing people. Now, we were also helping chiropractors write books. I actually had a course that I'd created on how to write a book. And I pretty much only sold it to the chiropractic profession. And so I thought, you know what, I can promote that. You know, just some things like this to maybe bring in some money. But I just started giving value. That was in May of 2015. October of 2015, I quit my job. A six-figure job to be able to go full-time. Now, I hadn't quite replaced my income yet, but we knew we were kind of on the right path. It was a struggle the first several months. And then finally, it just like really took off and ended up making more, you know, my first full year than what I used to selling coins.
Yeah.
And then it's just grown and grown and grown. But, you know, there's scripture that says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that I've always been the most righteous person, but I do believe that God honored us honoring him and provided different opportunities and opened doors. We never knew we'd be doing Facebook ads for chiropractors. But now we have, I mean, we're pushing, before long, we'll be right at 200 offices across the world that we're working with every single month, managing all their Facebook ads. And so it's built this huge business for us, and we've been able to build a team of people that actually run the majority of the business for us. You know, you mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, you know, working 10 to 15, you know, or 5 to 10 hours a week or something.
Yeah.
In the month of July, I think I worked 10 to 15 hours the whole month.
Yeah.
And we had more income in July than we did, or revenue than we did the month before, but it's because of systems and processes and stuff. And now, if you will just look and ask yourself, what do you really want? You know, what are some things that fires you up, either that you just get excited about or that you just get ticked off about?
Yeah.
You know, what are some of these things? And you can take, there's a lot that you can build a business around. I was actually sharing with a small group at church last Wednesday night. We have a business mindset small group at our church. And there's a few people in there that already have businesses. Some people are wanting to start a business. And this one lady says, I love wedding dresses. Everything about a wedding dress, picking out wedding dresses, I want to do something in that niche.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we talked about how businesses solve problems. And if you want to make money, solve expensive problems. You know, and well, obviously wedding dresses are expensive. So like one of the things I told her is, look, what in this niche of wedding dresses, what's a problem that you can help solve? You know, what are the biggest obstacles? And we didn't necessarily come up with something right then, but that was my point was, if that's something you're passionate about, there are enough people getting married, there are enough people out there. She should be able to build a business, whether it's $50,000, $150,000, $250,000 a year, if she finds the right problem to solve. Because the market's out there.
Yep.
There are billions with a B of people on the internet. So you just have to, you know, whatever product or service, whatever you provide, whatever problem you solve, get that in front of the right people, and you can make a great income.
Yeah.
So definitely. I kind of feel like I'm rambling a little bit.
Oh, no, not at all.
What's been great is because of the way we've built our business, one of the things now is we get to work on something that we're a little bit more passionate about. We're launching a brand called Raising a Leader. And it's about looking at your kids. You know, we can't just go to work every day, come home, feed our kids, and cross our fingers that they're going to grow up to be, you know, these, you know, awesome members of society, contributing members of society. You know, there has to be some plan and some intention in that. So anyway, we're starting a brand called Raising a Leader. We've got a podcast we're getting ready to launch, a parenting challenge. We're going to have some coaching, some really cool stuff. But what's great is that's something we're very, very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And because of the business we've built, it's providing us the opportunity to be able to do that as well.
Wow. That's incredible. I really, man, there's a lot of value in that. I really liked how you talked about just really how you were making a good income, right? You were really wealthy. You were in six figures, but you weren't happy. You weren't fulfilled and weren't really leading or living the lifestyle you're wanting to live. And so you made those steps. You took action to be able to really understand what it is that gets you fired up, that gets you really passionate about. And then being able to pursue that is, I mean, it's a struggle. It's hard. And like you said, like how you talked about, it was a struggle with Cairo Candy at first, but you provided a lot of value for the market, and eventually it just took off. And now you're at a point to where you're fulfilled. Like, gosh, there's a lot of points I want to hit on, because you talked a lot about some really incredible stuff. I just love how you know, you look for what you want to do and what you're passionate about, and then when you're pursuing that and you're making these changes in your life, then being able to fulfill it through God and what He has called you to do. And like you're saying about this program, Raising a Leader, like this business that you've built is able to, I guess, supply and support this program that you're so passionate about, which is, man, that's incredible. Really incredible. And then also just about how you're talking about how, you know, the struggle, like as far as the iceberg, everyone sees the tip of the iceberg, right? But not the bottom of the years of struggle. Is there a certain struggle that stands out to you the most that was just something that you have a lot of, I guess, that you stick with as far as overcoming? Like what kind of stands out the most, the biggest struggle for you, like the wall in your journey?
And that is a good question.
Yeah.
Let me back up a little bit. I'm going to take more of a 30,000 foot view of life here.
Mm-hmm.
We got married in 1996. And I remember the movie When Harry Met Sally. Whenever that came out, I'm a big Harry Connick Jr. fan. He did the soundtrack for that. But I remember watching the movie, and in between the scenes, they were interviewing these couples. And some couples had been married for a couple of years, and some couples were engaged, and this one couple had been married for, I don't know, it's like 50 to 60 years, a long time. And this older man, what he had said on there is, he made a comment. He said there's been good years and there's been bad years.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was so naive. I was thinking, you know, I was like 21. And I was thinking, a bad year? Come on. Now, I can see a bad week, right? But a bad year, it didn't seem logical. But I can say, after, you know, close to 24 years of marriage, we've had bad years.
Hmm.
And there's always going to be obstacles. But what you will find is, the more you overcome them, the easier the next obstacle gets.
Hmm.
You know, we have a tendency to do whatever's easy. If there's a group of you standing around, let's say you're standing around a living room or foyer and everybody's talking, most people are going to try to find a wall to lean on or the arm of a couch to kind of sit down on. Why? Because it's easier. It's more comfortable. And we just, our body's always seeking out what's going to be easiest to do.
Yeah.
And it's just like working out. The reason you work out the reason that actually benefits your body is because your body adapts. Okay, let's say you're lifting weights. Your body's like, okay, we may have to do this again. I need to grow this muscle. Right? And so, or you're running, you're doing cardio, whatever. Your body starts adapting to make those challenges easier. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact same in life. You know, you have issues with relationships. You know, you can either throw in the towel or buckle down and overcoming.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much value in just buckling down and overcoming it. You know, there's issues we have now that they're barely even an issue. But if they would have happened our first, you know, 3 or 4 years of marriage, it was a little bit more difficult back then than what it is now. So you just have to know, you know, this too will pass.
Yeah.
I will say this, whenever we first started the business, it was difficult leaving my job because it was a good income. Steve Harvey has a great video about jumping. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He actually has a book based on the same thing, that everybody's given a certain gift, and your gift, your calling will make room for you, but you have to jump. Like standing on that cliff, you have to finally just say, you know what, I'm going to do this. And your parachute may not open at first, right?
You may
fall a little bit, but you may get scraped up on the way down, but eventually it's going to open. And whenever we first started, you know, I left my job in October. Christmas that year was tough. You know, I left a good paying job, and we were barely paying our bills, much less had anything left over for Christmas. And our three kids were, I don't want to say they were spoiled, but they were used to a certain level of Christmas. We'll put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
But fortunately, I think they were all old enough to know, okay, we're kind of in a new chapter here. You know, the parents started their own company. And they understood, and believe me, we've been able to make up for it since. Yeah. But it was really, really tough. But we just, you know, you just stuck with it. I mean, we've had financial issues. We've had, you know, relationship issues. There's always going to be something.
Yeah.
But you just don't quit. You know, seek counsel from people who've been there before. You know, just get up every day. And, you know, keep the fight.
I love that. Nice. Keep the fight. That is really good. Nice. And I love the parachute analogy as far as just jumping, and it might not open up at first. And yeah, you might get some scratches, scrapes, bruises along the way, but you know, eventually it's going to open up. You're going to figure out a way to make it happen, and how it just over time that gets a lot easier. Nice. That's incredible. Nice. Thank you for that. Also, I got a couple more things that I just want to hit on here before we wrap this up. I really like how you talked about even with your childhood, how, you know, your childhood experiences have really fueled your lifestyle today. And I think a lot of that has to do, you know, with mindset, with when it comes to your way of thinking and how just a simple mindset can either make or break you. It can be all the difference, because the way that you've took a lot of your experiences and growing up is that, you know what, I don't want this for my children. I want to be able to provide that stability. And then what's amazing too is when you came to this, how you're talking about just jumping and doing what you're passionate about and what you truly value. You know what, there's a little bit of instability, but you worked through it as a family, and you got on the other side, and you stuck with it, which was really incredible, really valuable. And then also, I just want to, I guess, touch on the point how, you know, you talk a lot, obviously, you know, with you being a believer, that's a huge part of your life. And we were talking earlier about how you discussed how you bring that into your lifestyle, your business, how it is just a part of who you are, and you don't want to stray away from that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever we first started the podcast, for example, you know, I was hesitant, you know, kind of to even talk about my faith. Just, you know, I don't want to offend anybody or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But it is who I am. And I'm not trying to push my beliefs on anybody, but I'm going to be real. If, yeah. you know, just like the story about, you know, starting the podcast. This is what happened to me. This was my experience. And so I'm going to share that experience. And that's going to attract some people. And it may turn some people off. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, right? Even in business, especially where we are now, not everybody is a good fit for what we do. And we are okay with that. You know, some people are going to be, you're going to attract people, you're going to repel some people, and that's fine. You, whenever you first start, it's like, oh my goodness, I need to do business with everybody because we need the money. And sometimes that is a place, but you want to get to the point where you're getting to choose who you work with, you know, as soon as you can. Mm-hmm. Even like with your practice, you know, with, you know, what your dad does, and not every patient is a good fit for your office.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's better to say, you know what, I really think that this guy down the street may be a little bit better, you know, better option for you.
Yeah.
And some people are like, oh, why would you ever turn away business? Well, here's an example. I'm not sure why we're going here because you asked me about my faith, but just imagine, you know, if some people are offended by it, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's, they can, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't try to be preachy or anything like that. But let's say with our clients, if we have a client that is being real high maintenance, we have no problem telling them, you know what, this just isn't a good fit. Now, we want to service our clients to the best of our ability, but if somebody is taking up so much of one of our staff's time, and there's all these other people that are paying the exact same price that aren't taking up the time, well, we want to find more people like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't want to, you know, have these people that just suck our time and stuff like that. So, like I rambled a little bit there.
Oh, but no, you're good. No, I just really like how, you know, it's all about really, you know, staying true to yourself and how that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just really carrying over in all aspects of your life. So from your business to your relationships to your wealth, not compromising, not, I did this, a video, a live video the other week, just talking about never selling your soul. And it's just really staying true to who you are as a person, like what you're saying here, in all areas of your life, and including your business. So that's just a huge, huge part of, you know, living your one lifestyle and getting to your one lifestyle, the life you're called to live, is staying true to yourself. And you can definitely tell, and just from our conversation here, that you're a big proponent of, and you value that. So. Awesome. Great. Well, this has been, man, I'm super honored that you are on here. Just, one last question I want to ask you about, is, you know, with knowing everything that you know now, if you were to kind of go back to day one of kind of your journey, your struggle, what would be kind of the one takeaway, that you would want people to get from this, episode that would help them to get to their one lifestyle?
Jump.
Nice.
Yeah. You figure out what it is that you're passionate about, you know, and sometimes it's, you may not even be necessarily passionate about it. Some people, you know, we do some coaching on business. It's like, what is your fastest path to cash to go ahead and get you out of, you know, whatever job that you have? But some people, you know, think, man, I just can't do that. You know, I'm struggling to pay my bills as it is. You know, I can't just take the leap. when you got to do something. Andy Stanley has a book, and he's taught. He's actually pastor of North Point Community Church in Atlanta. It's a huge church, but he has a book called Principles of the Path. Principle of the Path. And a lot of people say they want one thing, but they're on the path to get something else, right? Mm. Their path isn't leading to that, but they say they want it.
Yeah.
You know, I want a great marriage, but they're making choices every day that's obvious they're not even on that path.
Yeah.
So figure out what you want and then make sure daily you are staying on that path. It's like the Wizard of Oz, the Yellow Brick Road, right? They're trying to get to Oz. Okay. Mm. All you have to do is stay on this path. Don't get distracted. Make sure you know what you want and do something daily that's getting you a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer. If it takes a little bit to get there, that's okay. You know, most people never even decide what they want, much less what kind of path they need to be on. So if you decide what you want, find out what that path is and do something daily that's going to get you a little bit closer and a little bit closer. You have one shot at this life. And there are too many tools available, like we talked about earlier. You owe it to your family. There are people out there that your business can dramatically change their life, but you have to start that business first.
Mm. Nice. Great. Awesome. So you heard it, everyone. Just jump. Stay on the path. I love that. How, you know, when you have this big goal, this life that you're called to live, how just being able to focus on that one step daily, just one brick at a time, right, to be able to get there. So you heard it from Billy, the one and only, with Cairo Candy. Just jump, just start, go for it. I just want to say, man, thank you so much, Billy, for being on today. Super honored, super blessed to be able to have you on this podcast. Really great.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, and then as far as any resources, different areas to be able to understand or get more involved with what you're doing, whether it's raising a leader, Cairo Candy, where should people go to be able to get more from you?
If you want to, you know, try to hit me up, or you can follow me on, you know, on social media, Facebook, I'm probably more active there than anywhere else. That would be the best place.
Okay, perfect. All right, everyone. Well, you heard it. Thanks again, Billy. Really appreciate it. And like he said, just jump. And you will start leading and living your one lifestyle. All it takes is just being on the path, jumping one step at a time. All right. Thanks again, Billy.
All right, man. We'll see you.
All right. Take care. You are awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in to the One Entrepreneur Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you do not miss a beat. Every single week, providing value through live interviews with One Entrepreneurs. So, see you next time. Love you. My name's Austin Blanchfield. Tune in out.